Hi, we're looking at Heavenly Realms, and in this module we're looking at more of the geography of heaven, how the heavenly realms are laid out, the different structures, the different protocols of the courts of heaven, so that we can get a familiarization of where things take place and how we could function there. A major aspect of the heavenly realms is a governmental perspective. So the kingdom is a governmental kingdom, no end to the increase of his government and of peace. Therefore, we need to understand government, understand legislation, understand that as sons, we have a role to play. There are different levels of government authority relating to different realms. And it just because we can access heaven doesn't necessarily mean we have the authority to operate in every realm. Our mountains, our thrones, our positions of governmental authority that are in the different realms of heaven that we can have access to. Heaven's court system is outworked in the pattern of the tabernacle, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, heaven, heaven of heavens, different realms, and each court functions in a particular realm. And when you have access to the higher realms, you have access to all the lower realms as well. Zechariah 3:7 is a scripture which describes the process of coming into maturity in authority as sons. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, which we do here, and if you will perform my service or keep my charge, which is what we do in the area of the kingdom of God, in the realms in lordship, then you will govern my house. That's firstly our own house, our own life, but also that goes into wider spheres of government. Also have charge of my courts. Now, having charge of the courts and operating and using the courts are different levels of authority. And I will grant you free access among these who are standing here in the assemblies, the councils of God, where some of the decision-making processes go on. So heaven is patterned after the tabernacle. We go through the various way, truth and life, the veils, to engage in governmental perspective, lordship, kingdom of God, kingship, kingdom of heaven, heaven, sonship, kingship, and further into maturity of sonship. Now the sons of Issachar are about knowing the times and the seasons. And we've entitled our blog, The Sons of Issachar, because it's something that God has given us a mandate for, and therefore we have to learn how to discern and to use that information and to legislate for the change in the times of the seasons, to administrate the seasons and align the houses of God until we live in the fullness of the order of Melchizedek continually. And we'll go into this in more detail when we look at the Chancellor's houses and the Circle of the Deep. But we're looking to align ourselves in agreement with what was, in other words, what is God's heart continually in eternity, bring that into what is in the place and position we stand in the realms of heaven, and then outwork that in what will be each day in our lives. So the ordinances of heaven, which reveal our identity and our position of authority in sonship, are revealed when we have a foundation that's based on the precepts, statutes, and laws of God. So I can access the mantles of identity and position for my destiny, and each of you can do the same. Each of us have a mantle of authority which comes with our identity, which unveils a position to enable me to legislate for my destiny. We can have access to different weapons or tools that enable us to fulfill our destiny. And this functions within the weapons house. And you'll find as you mature, you have access to use different insight, revelation, and use the courts in different ways. We can begin to administrate new seasons with access to scrolls, with new mandates and heavenly positions, accessing the discoveries of new revelation, and then be commissioned in new positions of authority with new roles in both heaven and on earth. All these things are part of the process of learning how to engage the realms of heaven and then to function in the different courts of heaven and the different houses of heaven to release all that we need to fulfill everything we're called to do as sons of God. Living in dual realms will mean having charge of the courts. Once we start living there, we sometimes consciously are engaged, and all of the time we can be subconsciously or unconsciously engaged. our spirit can be engaged while we're flowing from heaven into the earth as a gateway. The cognitive process is important when you're making a law or using legislation. You understand, so you can explain that perhaps to others or have a corporate identity in that. Access and operating in the courts, such as the chancellor's courts, the judges, as a judge and a magistrate. There are different roles within the realms of heaven that we have access to. We can function there even when we're not consciously present. And therefore, living in dual realms will increase our capacity exponentially when we learn to do it. Learning how to receive and make laws and legislation so that we can then use those laws and legislative decrees or documentation to begin to administrate the kingdom. Zechariah 3:7 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways." Now, walking in his ways here is such an important aspect to outworking this. If we're only doing things in the realms of heaven that has no effect into how we live and walk and have our being in this realm, then we can be accused of Gnosticism. It's all spiritual and there's no practical outworking. We need to practically outwork this in our lives. We need to be changed and transformed into the image of sonship to represent Jesus on earth as we are operating in heaven. But we will govern the house and we will have charge of the courts. And it's important that we learn how to access those different courts for different functions. Now, to have charge of the courts, we need to know courtroom protocols. Now, as soon as you start to mention protocols to some people, they get all itchy because they fear that it's going to be formulaic and you have to get everything right. You've got to get it in the right order. You've got to say exactly the right words. Protocols aren't really like that. You know, yes, we can use the judicial court, the mobile court of accusation. We can do that. Most of us are familiar now with that. But there's different levels of courts in which it's important to have the heart of God when we use those courts. Protocols really come out of relationship and heart. Some courts are judicial, but not criminal, if you like. Some are more like councils or assemblies, more like a governmental cabinet where things are agreed, where there is discussion, where there is interaction. And we find as we come into a more mature role, then we get more access to some of those discussions. What we begin to do is to learn how to receive mandates and legislation and then use them. But eventually we'll develop and into more mature positions of authority. So we can present cases to the courts, obviously using the mobile court for verdicts. We want a verdict that gives us permission or authority to be free or to be separated. So people present cases for divorce from different things, for separation from different things. That's one aspect to it. But also we can present cases for justice where things are not outworking according to God's decrees or declarations or according to his promises. So we can present cases for those promises. We may have prophetic promises. We may have generational promises. We may have direct promises that we can see in the word of God that are not being outworked in our life. We can use cases for the release of that, maybe for healing or provision or other things. We can present cases for grace and mercy, for the power to release God's anointing to bring change, to bring blessing into the earth. Making and receiving laws and legislation. Again, the courts can be used for that. To receive mandates and to receive authorizations, to agree decision and strategies. So it's important that we begin to access these different courts and learn to see where the different courts function. So the kingdom of God is where we see that court of war or strategy, that council, the mobile court, the court of angels. Now, as soon as you step into the realm of heaven, you have access to those courts. When we then begin to go into the realm of kingdom of heaven, we then find the chancellor's courts, the court of scribes, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, and then heaven itself, court of the councils of the fathers, which are directed from the three basic courts, the governmental courts of the heaven of heavens, court of judges, court of the Lord, and the council of 70. Those then feed into the court of the councils of the fathers, which then connect to all the other courts and authorize all the other courts to function. So the different courts and councils and assemblies are in different heavenly realms and are accessible with different levels of maturity and positions of authority. The courts have many different functions. Obviously, I can only share my own experiences, but there are many others. And I've talked to people a lot around the world who have different experiences of using these different courts. Some of them have different names, but in reality, they're the same court, just described with a different function. Remember, the name, it's not the form of the court, but actually how it functions is important. And therefore, different courts can do different things on different occasions for different people in different situations. So don't make an assumption that just because you've operated in a court in one way, that that's the only way that there is. There may be many other ways that people are using the courts for. So the kingdom of God, the mobile court, the strategy court, the court of angels. That's where we're operating in lordship. We've been given authority and we can use those courts to administrate that authority. Kingdom of heaven, the chancellor's court, the court of scribes, in kingship. Now, there's a difference between using the chancellor's court to get something authorized than being a chancellor and functioning in the court. Using the court of scribes to get something written into the record, or being a scribe and writing things and being part of the processes of producing records. And people have different functions within these things. But as we begin to operate in a different level of authority, we'll find that using the chancellor's courts and the court of scribes is important. Heaven, the court of kings, court of the upright, court of the councils of the fathers, in kingship and becoming more mature sons. Now, the court of the kings is for those who operate in kingship. The court of the upright is for those who were engaging with the men in white linen. And the court of the councils of the fathers is where we get permissions release from the higher courts to outwork those things through the court systems into the earth. And then there's the heaven of heavens. And these are the three higher courts. You could say these are the bench courts, which are effectively there to function in mature sonship. And if we're going to function there and operate there, we will have to know the heart of God, have a relationship with God, which really reflects his heart. So we're coming out of righteousness and justice in all that we do. Now, courtroom protocols, authorizations to use or have a charge of the court are different. Now, authorization to use a court, if you've been given a mandate, that gives you authorization to get that mandate agreed. So heaven recognizes it. To have charge of the court is where you are actually in, let's say, the court of chancellors and actually functioning as a chancellor to give authorization. Those are two different levels of authority. Now, when it comes to protocols, don't get fearful of getting it wrong, or I must get it exactly right. God is looking at the motives of our heart, not if we get every I dotted and every T crossed, you know, and get our words exactly right. You know, he's not looking so much at the externals of what we say, but why we're saying it and from what motive and direction we're saying it. So don't get fearful. And if you need help, seek help from wisdom, because wisdom is there to help us rule and to reign and use the court systems of heaven. So let's look at the different courts. The court of war or strategy. Now, I prefer strategy as a title because I feel that war is more sort of attuned to spiritual warfare. And we're really not wanting to get involved in what spiritual warfare used to be, but use authority that a court gives. So for me, I like to talk about strategy. So when you come to the court of strategy and you present, let's say, an authorized mandate, you've been given authorization to do something. Well, how are you going to do it? So coming to the strategy court is you're looking for direction, help, wisdom, insight into how you can outwork what you've been given to do. So the strategy is revealed to outwork the mandate. And that can be in many different ways, and different people will use different strategies because of who you are, your redemptive gift, the way you're wired by God, not everyone is going to use the same sort of strategy. And this is where, when you think of war and you think of it in those terms, it tends to be more sort of aggressive, violent. You think of it in terms of forcing things rather than exercising authority. When you know your authority, you do not have to force something, you just rule. So heavenly preparation. You may have a strategy that gives you direction to prepare things in heaven first. Now, of course, everything needs preparation in heaven first, but there may be some specific things you need to do. You may need to make decrees. You may need to make declarations. You may need to call things into being. You may need to have angelic assignments. You may need to engage the cloud of witnesses. There are many, many different things that in this process you learn to do. Now, this isn't a formula. So when you receive a strategy, you know, that is because the mandate is placed within your heart. You receive a scroll with a mandate and you place it within your heart, which activates it. And then that begins to motivate you. And in that motivation, that then begins to lead you and direct you into what to decree, what to declare, what assignments that you need, what angels that you need. You'll find that it becomes more instinctive. And then there may be earthly, practical direction and outworking, because we need the kingdom in heaven on earth through us as a gateway of heaven into the earth. So there must be an outworking practically. Now, I'm not saying that every mandate is an earthly mandate, but every mandate will have an effect on earth. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, whatever we do in heaven is so the kingdom can be manifested on earth, so earth aligns itself with heaven. Now, some of those are more direct, directive things, and some of them are things that are more preparatory, but essentially, the quarter strategy can give us insight and understanding into these things and reveal and unveil the things that we need then to begin to put into practice. And there may be seasons in this, there may be timings in this that get revealed. There may be things that you get shown for this season, the next season, the seasons to come, so that you can be ready to outwork these things. The Court of Angels. Well, I learned to present agreed authorized mandates and get angels assigned. Now, sometimes you can go and you have your mandate and they're already assigned because they already know the authority that you've been given. They recognize it. But sometimes you can call for volunteers. You can call for those, as God did, who will go for us. And you can ask for volunteers. I guess any angels that are going to volunteering will have permission to do so. You can engage the angelic canopy. Think of the different levels of angelic orders and what they do and how they function. And it's important to understand that the correct angels are assigned to the correct things. And there are all sorts of different angels, and we know that the canopy of angels covers our mountain throne when God is enthroned in our lives. And we find the angels respond to us. And they recognize when we speak with God's voice. Now, what I mean is that we carry the authority when we're standing in the name of God, in the Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, and we're speaking with the voice of the lion, the ox, the eagle, or the man. Now, here's the canopy of angels, and you find that the canopy surrounding the throne of God tend to be the higher level angels who are involved in higher level functions. So the Ishim, the warring ones, the cherubim, the covering ones, the Benai Elohim, the sons of God, the Elohim, the judges, the Malachim, the messengers or kings, the seraphim, the burning ones, the Kashmirim, the shining ones, the Erelim, the mighty ones, the spheres, the Ophanim, and the living creatures, the Chaoth. Now, each of those layers, if you like, or of that canopy, is a place that you can engage. So you can go into the realm. Now, I would suggest you start at the top and work down, because you'll find that the living creatures and Metatron, who's the head of that order of angels, it's very helpful in terms of seasons and timekeeping, being the keykeeper and the timekeeper of the realms of heaven. So very useful to have the creatures that are not necessarily human looking or normal angelic looking, like the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud that were the angel of the Lord in the wilderness that the children of Israel followed. And I found that the living sword, you know, the fiery sword is an angelic being. It's living, it's alive. Now, you know, the Ophanim, the spheres, the power sources, again, useful if you need to travel, you know, around the realms of heaven. You know, there are different realms here. Now, there are different functions, there are different protocols. As you go into each realm, it's like going into a dimension where things are slightly different in each dimension, and you get familiar with the different angels and you get familiar with how they function, and then you get more familiar with how to assign them or how to call them and how to use them. Because remember, the angels are ministering spirits sent on behalf of those who are an inheritors of salvation. So they're there for us, and they're there to help us in our roles in sonship. And everything that functions in the realms of heaven and in these realms is under the throne of God. And there are specific, obviously, angels that are involved with the throne of God at a deeper level. But we can engage with them, and we can learn to function with them. And when we begin to engage the atmosphere of the earth, we need to understand what the principalities, powers, and rulers that are for each area that we have responsibility for, because we need to engage with these different angels for different functions and purposes. And there may be messenger angels that we need to send out. There are angels that are involved in refining and purification and transformation. You know, those that are involved in other different areas. So familiarize yourself with it. You know, ask wisdom to engage you or take you there, or ask Jesus to do it, to show you the different realms, to show you the different levels, and to give you some insight into how they function, what they do, so that you are familiar with how the heavenly realms work and how you can use that in the courts of angels. Then we have the Court of Chancellors. Now, I'm quite familiar with this court, having been shown it a lot originally, and then started to use it when I was making legislation, and then I was given a chancellor's seal and given the authority to have charge of that court and to sit with the three other chancellors, because there's four that sit, and begin to authorize things and seal them with the lion, the ox, the eagle, and my seal was the seal of man. And I learned to do that. So I, first of all, took mandates, laws, legislation that needed authorization. Now you say, well, why does a law need authorization if you've given it? Because there's protocol. And the chancellors release you to use the authorization in your life. Just because you have a law doesn't mean that you're authorized to use it. You know, we need to know how to use it effectively and to have authorization to do it. And I found this is the court that did that. And I took things to get them sealed. Now, I've experienced the cloud of witnesses and angels appearing here often, when people present their scrolls, present their mandates, their blueprints. There's often great excitement, and there's a willingness to stand with you in agreement. You know, heaven has been waiting for the sons of men to mature, to come into these positions, and they do get excited. You know, angels have emotions, and they are excited by us coming into our sonship. And then there's the Court of Scribes. That's where I learned to take sealed mandates and get them written into the statutes. Now, this first happened. Wisdom took me to the Court of Kings, and I was sat at a bench, and there was a scroll. I didn't know what to do, and from my spirit just got released a law, the law of fatherhood and sonship, and it all just got written from my spirit. And as it got written and I took the scroll, I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't sense to eat it at that point. So I looked to Wisdom, and she took me to the Court Chancellors, and I presented the scroll to the chancellors that were there, and they looked at it, authorized it. Now I was able to use it. Then she took me to the Court of Scribes, in which then I presented the authorized scroll, and they wrote it into the record books or the statute books for my life, which is recorded that I have the authority now to use this. So heaven recognizes my authority in that area to use that law. And that's really how I found it all worked. And then you get the scroll back. Then you can place it into your heart or place it into your mountain or wherever you feel led to do it. Plant it in the garden of your heart. Sometimes I've done that. Now heaven recognizes my authority. This is written into the statute book of heaven and my personal statute book. And if we're corporately doing something, it can be written into a corporate statute book. Then you can engage the records and the scrolls for your spheres of government there. You can engage the records for people's lives. You can engage the records for a specific area, a particular city, perhaps. The things that have been prophesied, the things that have been spoken, the things that are recorded for that particular area or sphere. That gives you some insight and background information when you're looking to use legislation to bring change and transformation to an area, to a town or region, city. You'll find that legal rights, previous prophetic revelation are recorded there. And that gives you some information about what you need to do, perhaps in preparing a court case to remove a legal right that may be over a city or maybe over an area or maybe over your life. So this is a very useful place to be able to engage. Now, there are other rooms associated with this court that people have described, like the record room or the wine room. Or the oil room. Recently, I've been talking to a friend who has been engaging the oil room. Now, you know, all these things are connected and associated. And, you know, you may get these things unveiled and you may find that you're given some permission to it to see and to engage and understand. You know, there are many, many different rooms in some of these courts that have other functions going on, as well as the main function that, you know, you become aware of. The Court of Kings. And again, this is where, you know, you can, as a king, start to decree agreed laws and legislate. Now, sometimes you receive a law that's already in authorization. But then you can make new laws. You know, I was given a blank scroll and made a new law. Now, people ask the question, well, why do you need a new law? Surely all the laws that are ever going to be needed are already made. Well, that makes the assumption that we're not involved in the process, where we're supposed to have charge of these courts. So we need to learn how to make laws. And just like if you think of 100 years ago, there would have been no need for laws to police the internet, cyberspace, any of those things, the dark net, the dark web, none of that stuff would have been needed. It would have been totally irrelevant because the time wasn't right for those laws to be in place. Now we need those things in place because we now live in an age, which is the cyber age, the age of information going back and forth all over. You know, there's all sorts of corruption that takes place. There's cyber scams. There's all sorts of things. So we need new laws. And it's the same. We're coming to positions of revelation in sonship for the restoration of all things, which actually means that we need to make laws. And legislative documents and decrees so that we can outwork that. So I've been given existing legislation at times, and I then followed the process through the courts, through the chancellors and the scribes, so that I then have permission to use that. And when I've made legislation, new laws, I do the same thing. I get it authorized and agreed. And again, it's not so much as making sure you get everything correctly spoken, but that you actually follow the process to enable you to fully function in those positions of authority. The Court of the Upright. You know, I've been there and presented scrolls with mandates for blueprints and legislation. When I did that with our blueprint for the ministry we operate here, there were 12 thrones that seemed to be forward from the others, and there were mantles and torches attached to those thrones, and there were 12 people sat on those thrones who had been assigned to our ministry, and I knew who they were. You know, I didn't necessarily physically recognize all of them, or some I did, but I just knew who they were. And then we encouraged our then bench of 12 to engage with those men in white linen, cloud of witnesses. And so the cloud of witnesses is the description of the whole of all those who've gone before. And the men in white linen is a description of each one when they're on assignment, when you can engage with them in a particular way. Now, I've engaged with many of the cloud of witnesses in that court and in other realms in heaven, and they've been very helpful in significant periods in my life in terms of revealing something, unveiling something, directing me towards something, stirring my heart towards something. You know, most recently, I've engaged with Esther a number of times, King David a number of times. I've engaged with Jacob and lots of different ones. But if you have a particular call, a blueprint, you'll find that there are those that are assigned, and so you can engage with them. You can confer with specific people. Sometimes you may be led to seek out a specific person. I've done this a few times when people have passed on and I've felt led to go and talk to them, then to be able to pass on comfort or something to those left behind. One specific case was a real privilege when a friend of mine lost his wife suddenly, and I felt led to go and talk to her. And I met her in the court of the upright. She was dressed in a very particular way. She gave me a message for her husband, in that she wanted to make it clear that he was free to remarry, that she was going to support him in his ministry, but not to be weighed down with grief. And I shared that with the person, and, you know, they asked me, well, what was she wearing? And I described it, and essentially he had a vision of her wearing that the previous week. Now that brought him some direction and freedom for the future. So there may be specific things. I've done that a number of times. It's not something I do regularly, but I have done it, and I do believe we can do it if we're authorized to do it. There are also situations where you may need to go to that court to bring someone back that God wants to bring back to life who has died, when we raise people from the dead. You know, in one specific occasion where I was used to do that, I went into the court and held the hand of this person and led them back into their physical body, which is, again, another dimension to engaging with the court of the upright. Court of the Councils of the Fathers. Now, for me, when I've engaged there, this is like the 24 elders with the Father, Son, and Spirit engaged with them, carrying the heart of the Father, carrying his wisdom and his insight. Now, for me, this has always been related to high-level tasks and authorization, legislative things I've been called to do, that the Court of the Council of the Father had given me permission, because they are connected to the three highest level courts that release their judgments and wisdom downwards for outworking through the different realms of heaven. And I received directives from them to producing legislation. When I was asked to make legislation back in the beginning of 2016, I didn't know what to do. So I asked wisdom, and wisdom took me to the Court of the Councils of the Fathers, and they gave me some specific authorizations so I could make legislation in alignment with what they said. I found that that also was what gave me access to the court or the Council of 70. And as I was engaging with the Council of the Fathers, then I was given permission to engage the Council or the Court of 70. Access to Satan's trophy room. Wisdom gave me the seal, which gave me chancellor's authority. And as I engaged this court, they opened up the realm to go and engage that room, realm. Access to the 12 chancellor's houses, which effectively I've been functioning with, was given me initially from this court. So there are fairly high-level things. I didn't access this court when I first started to engage the mobile court or, you know, find my mountain in the realms of heaven. This has come with some level of maturity. then the court or the council of 70. Now, this is the court that is responsible for the seasons of heaven and how the heavenly seasons get outworked in relation to the seasons of earth. So there are four 70-day periods. Now, the court of 70, 70 days, there's obviously a connection between 70. And it is an administrative, governmental perspective. You had the 70 elders, remember, with Moses. So there are periods for judgment, justice, grace, and mercy. And now heaven operates on those cycles yearly, but also in bigger cycles. So there may be cycles which are longer than a year where we may be in a period of just judgment. Now, that doesn't mean that justice, grace, and mercy don't function. It just means the overall sense of that larger period may be of a judgmental perspective, not in a bad way, because judgments are always to bring life, always to cause decision in the positive. There may be we're in a season of justice, which is, I believe, the season we're in now, in a larger season. And within that season, we need to have grace and mercy. We may need to make more judgment. So it's okay. You know, heaven functions this way. We need to learn to discern the times and the seasons, to function like the sons of Issachar, and begin to understand how heaven works. And therefore, to work more effectively within that way. So you can make and present a case there. You may be called to make bring evidence before the court. There may be different things that you arrange. You know, I have an ambassador's role for the Joshua generation, and I have a it's like a tree of life crystal shape, which is my ambassador's seal, which gives me access to the Council of 70 to make representation on behalf of the Joshua generation. But the first time I engaged there was quite a long time ago, and I was just given access to see. It was a very, very different atmosphere. Almost the light was different there. I was almost blinded by the level of light, because it's in a different realm, and the realm seemed to function differently than the other realms. But I understood, and this is what I learned, as I learned to engage the Chancellor's Houses, which we'll look at next time, I discovered the keys to presenting cases at this level was understanding the precepts, statutes, and laws of God, presenting evidence, and then receiving the verdict which gave you judicial jurisdiction and authority. And it's no good going into that court without having what you've done being based on the precepts of God, which is his very character and nature, which is in essence love. And then outworking how he sees things, because that's what the statutes really do, is how God sees things. And therefore, when he looks at us and when he looks at his intention, what does he see and what is the evidence that's aligned? And then the laws of God are how God then brings order into an outworking of things, which is essentially, here's the heart of the God, which enables me to present a case, prepare a case. Here is the evidence, which is how we see things in light of those precepts. And then the laws are, here's the what the verdict is going to be to bring change as a result of what's been prepared or what's been released. So it may seem quite a complicated process, but essentially, you know, if you're called to do it, then, you know, you'll be given what you need to facilitate you using that court. Don't just desire to jump in there and look for something. This is a higher level administrative thing in terms of times and seasons within heaven and earth, not just about my life. You know, there are bigger class action cases, wider perspectives when we engage that court. Now, this is what God said about my precepts, statutes, and laws, and it's important to grasp some of this. My precepts are the foundation of the beginning. I am my eternal nature and character, the fullest expression of who I am. the foundation of righteousness, the fullest demonstration of love revealed in pure light. My heart revealed the why of creation. So when you go there, you need to know why by having engaged the heart of God. That will unveil a deeper level of his precepts. My statutes are the fullest expression of how I see and perceive everything, my worldview. The lens through which all things from the largest galaxy to the smallest particle are observed. My observation that enables the existence of all things. So God's heart is then manifested in an outworking where energy begins to manifest as matter. My mind revealed the what of creation. Now, you could spend quite a long time meditating and engaging just these three statements, and I would encourage you to do so. My laws, the principles that enable all things to exist, that which holds everything together, based on the precepts and the statutes. The divine cogs of all existence, from the relative to the quantum. My voice revealed the how of creation. Everything was spoken into being from God's thoughts, how he sees things, from God's heart, which is the revelation of his nature and character. So when we speak, we need to make sure we're speaking from his heart, and you can measure that or validate it on whether it's love or not. Love is the plumb line in which we use to evaluate whether we're operating according to the heart of God or not. So I was called to present a case to the Council of 70 for judgment to be made against the old Moses order on the basis of, is it a reflection of heaven governmentally? So it was a very specific case. And again, judgment was not to be made to bring negativity, but to bring opportunity. So I had no idea, obviously, how to do that initially, which is why I'd spent, you know, 3 months, 18 months actually, engaged with the Chancellor's Court, and for a lot of that, engaged with the precepts, statutes, and laws of God. That really was the foundation of knowing how to present a case. So I learnt to present that case, that high-level class action case, on behalf of the Joshua generation towards the Moses generation, which were effectively keeping everything back and holding everything back. All cases must be based on the precepts of God. That is the key. And the evidence that we present is how we see things in alignment with the statutes of God. So I was directed to present 3 more cases before the Council of 70 once God had got me to do the first one, which I didn't sign up for, but hey, Jehovah Sneaky was in operation. So on the basis of the judgment verdict of the first case, I was then able to make the case for the next season, which is justice. And presenting the case for justice was again coming back to the precepts of God, then looking at how this verdict, or how God wanted things ordered to align themselves with the verdict. That's what justice is. So in a sense, in the criminal court, someone gets found innocent. Justice is they go free. Someone's found guilty. Justice is they have to serve the sentence, whatever that might be. It's the same in this situation, where the judgment allows for justice to outwork the verdict. So let's say in my case, the judgment was made on the basis of the evidence I presented against the Moses generation, who were veiling and covering God's people with mediatorial coverings, holding people back from hearing God for themselves and coming into sonship. Therefore, justice was that those veils are going to start to get removed, and people are going to start to come out from under those veils so that they can see the light, see their sonship, and be able to cross over beyond the promised land, if you into the promised land beyond the veil, to engage their heavenly positions of authority, because many of the Moses generation were holding people back, saying that they can't engage the realms of heaven, that they can't do it only when they're, when perhaps in some situations where God takes you there. Now, all that stuff was limiting. And many people and many ministries had brought people up to the edge of the promised land, but now were restricting them going in. So it was quite a lot of evidence that was presented. And then I continued to then use the verdict as the evidence for the next case. And then what was justice? How was justice going to be at work? And then that verdict, when received, was then enable me to present the case for grace to be released for this new order of things. Grace is the divine enabling power of God. Grace is what holds everything together. And when we begin to operate in the power of grace, we then start to see things change and move. So then on the basis of grace, which then became the evidence, I presented the case for mercy to abound. Now, have I seen the fullness of grace and mercy abound yet? No, because we're still in the actual bigger season of justice. But I believe we're coming to the end of the season of justice, so that we're going to see grace and greater grace and grace upon grace, which is going to be then released to enable us to prepare for the mercy of God that's going to be poured out into the earth. For the Joshua generation initially, so we can see the Joshua generation come into their inheritance, be the mentors for the next generation, where we're going to need to see mercy abounding in the earth to see a harvest. So these are some of the things that you learn to do when you begin to engage the different levels and different realms of the courts. Now, I learned about the protocols of aligning the 12 chancellor's houses. That became the basis of my preparing for those cases to the Council of 70. And in a sense, I went through a time of preparation from 2013 for a couple of years to present that case. That was preparation in terms of revelation, experience, maturity, dealing with stuff in my own life, engaging the heart of God at a deeper level. It was fairly intense, but well worth it, in that it unveiled and released and gave me different position of authority in as an ambassador. Now, the council meets for four periods of 70 days, starting in February each year. Judgment, justice, grace, mercy. I was given a very clear instruction. Now, I'm not saying that everyone has to follow this instruction. This is what was given to me. I was told to spend 35 days in preparation for the case, present the case on day 35, which is the center of the 70 days, and then spend 35 days in administrating the verdict that was received. The case for judgment was first and foundation for all the others. Now there's the court of judges, and the court of judges administrate that which the Council of 70 and the court of the Lord come into agreement over. High-level judicial decrees, court of 70 judgments, court of judges administrate justice. And, I've been involved there a little bit, but that's probably not something that for me has been particularly a court that I've engaged a lot in. Others who are perhaps magistrates, who are judges themselves rather than chancellors, will perhaps function in that court or in associate courts in a different way to me. And then there's the court of the Lord. And I found that this is where our destiny scroll, the Yesod of God, is where our destiny scroll is given in agreement for people to come into this dimension from the spiritual realm in which they pre-exist. Therefore, God's precepts from the eternal now of what was, is unveiled in each person's destiny being revealed. Now, that scroll does not contain anything bad. Some people have been teaching that people agree at this point in this court to be abused and to go through all these terrible things in life. You do not, and it is not there. Bad things do happen because we live in a fallen, broken world, and that we are fallen, broken people, and God wants to restore us and bring us to wholeness, and he wants to bring restoration to the world. so that those things will begin to cease and we'll come into a place of peace. But God will still bring good out of everything that we go through and seek to redeem it if we will allow him. God is a good God. He does not have a whole lot of plans for your calamity and destruction. He has plans for your welfare and well-being and for your blessing. He empowered Adam and Eve to be fruitful, to multiply, to increase, to fill the earth, to subdue everything that's a hindrance and to rule over. That is our mandate as sonship, and this is what's attached to our scroll. And we will have a outworking in time of those things. We also have a destiny that has functioned before this, and we will have destinies which go on into the ages to come. So at that court, you find that there are angels assigned, your guardian angels, your caretaker angel who's caretaking your throne and managing the seasons of your life with the 12 chancellor's houses. Those things are there for us to engage, and we can go back into that court and have a reconnection to who we were and our sonship that way. So God, as a result of engaging these courts, legislation became something that I began to get actively involved in. And so the Father said, Son, legislate the area, the region, the nations for justice and call for freedom. I call you to administrate my heart for my people's freedom from religious oppression. Now, this is tied to the court case for the Joshua generation. So people will be free from religious oppression and bondage, the coverings of men that are hindering them coming into heavenly positions of authority and maturity in sonship. So this is tied to what I did, and then this is what God authorized me to do. That was my mandate. Now, when you receive a mandate, cultivate desire for that mandate, meditate around it, put it in your heart, start to create the desire so that your heart will align with God's heart towards that mandate. Seek for direction. Can I use existing legislation to enable me to fulfill this mandate? If there is existing legislation, use it. Where would I get that? Chancellor's Court, Strategy Court, other places. Do I need new legislation? Do I have what I need? Well, if I need new legislation, then go to the Court of Kings and make it. So God spoke to me about giving him time to legislate, to make or enact laws. And I've been using existing legislation to administrate the kingdom for a number of years before this. And then I started making new legislation using the authority it releases to see the rule of God's kingdom bring restoration. And I want to see things restored. This is, you know, the foundation really of my desire within God's heart to see the restoration of all things. So I engaged with wisdom and sought revelation. Wisdom took me to the court of the councils of the fathers. I was given a mandate to make a new law, the law of religious freedom. That was the first of this series of laws. So I went to the Court of Kings, I sat at the bench, and I called for a scroll. And as the scroll appeared, this was the law of religious freedom. Now, I was not making this law. This was a law that was given to me. Therefore, this was given to me directly by God. So God is the author of this. Therefore, I hereby authorize the law of religious freedom. Is God saying that to me? This law approves the right of the Joshua generation to set my people free. You're authorized to bring freedom to the oppressed, to release light into the shrouded darkness of the old Moses order. You're authorized to administer Emmaus Road-like encounters to those whose minds have been veiled by the coverings of men. Remember, on the Emmaus Road, Jesus unveiled himself to people in a totally different dimensional way. People need those encounters that are going to set them free. You're authorized to call for and administrate justice for God's people. In love, you are empowered to challenge the old wineskins and their associated mindsets. In love. And it's so important that we do this in love. Because God loves his children. He may not like the wineskins that have been developed, but he loves his children, who actually are the new wineskin, because we are now the temple of the Spirit. We are the house of God. The old Moses order of mountains can be shaken with the winds of change. Winds of change is an order of angels, because they bring changes of season. You are to call the Joshua generation to action, to cry into the valley of decision and release heaven's sound and light. So if you're listening to this as part of the Joshua generation, you have authority to call out into those people you know, into those still in the religious institutions, those who are perhaps looking to come out from under that, those who are in that decision-making place. And that valley of decision is a difficult place for some people to be in. They know there's more, but they're loyal to the old. They know there's something new, but they're still under the old. And we need to release heaven's sound and light to draw them out from under. So you can do that. You can directly do that to people you know, to administrative things that you know. Then God said, you have been assigned the ordinances of the angelic host to engage in visitations, dreams, and visions. So have the authority to assign angels to go and visit people, to stir their hearts to come and follow the light and the sound of heaven. So then I took that scroll to the Chancellor's Court. It was agreed and authorized and sealed. I took it to the Court of the Scribes, and it was written into the statutes. I am empowered to use it and to legislate it, but I'm also empowered to release it for the Joshua generation to use. So use this legislation wisely and with precision. So important to not just be a blunderbuss, but to be a precision laser-guided instrument. And many will be set free to receive their inheritance. So look for the times and seasons and the right time to reach into people's lives, to use this legislation to set them free from religious bondage, or to engage in a particular stream or denomination or movement and direct this legislation towards it. But don't do it for anyone without having wisdom in what you're doing. So I engaged the Heavenly Court of 70 for the authorization to legislate alignment and this whole shift. So having used the verdict, I went to the council, and this is when I was given the ambassador's seal to say, you have authority to come and make representation to this court or council. And then I began to declare and pronounce the law of religious freedom. So then I began to use it, to legislate it, to call for change. So what you do when you receive that mandate, that law, that legislation, put it in your heart, let it become the motivation of your heart, that then when you begin to administrate, you'll find it flows from your heart, out of your spirit, with life. You won't have to just parrot it, or you won't have to formularize it. It can become living and active. It is the living and active word of God, which is in you, which brings administration. So on the basis of the law of religious freedom, I call for the veils to be removed from those covered by resistors and rejectors of the new heavenly order. I call for justice on the basis of God's judgment, the exposing of those refusing to take the people into the promised inheritance. I call for a stirring and quickening of the hearts of those who've been covered and limited. I call for a new generation to arise. I call for mercy and the light of truth to shine brighter and with more intensity into the darkness of the coverings of men. I call for justice and freedom from the religious evangelical spirit that is plaguing God's people. I call for a holy dissatisfaction to grow in the hearts of God's people and the cry to go out from deep within, there must be more than this. Listen for that cry. Spot the signs that people are being stirred within and help them come out from under the bondage of religion that they may still be in. I call for the sound of heaven to resonate in the hearts of those who will become hungry for more as they become dissatisfied with the junk food and baby food. I call for more angelic encounters, visitations, dreams, visions, supernatural engagements. I call for new desire to rise in the hearts of those who've been misled and covered by religious veils of doctrine and theology that denies the supernatural as normal to our lives. Son, so I did that, and then God said this, Son, prepare for two exoduses, one from Egypt and one from the wilderness. The one from the wilderness is those coming out under the Moses mediatorial system, and the one from Egypt is those who are coming directly out of Egypt, out of the world, who need to go straight into the promised land and not go through the wilderness first. So we need the people to come out of the wilderness to prepare the places, the cities of refuge, the new order ecclesia, ready to receive that harvest that are going to come out of Egypt. Son, stir my people to call into darkness with penetrative light. Send forth the light to pierce the dark veils of blindness and deception. My ordinances will be at the command of my people if they will accept their mission. Now, this is not just for me. This is for us. So use this. Be directive. Really go for it. We need to see people set free and brought out of darkness into light. Prepare the storehouses to receive the harvest. Without the people coming out of the wilderness, then the storehouses are in the wilderness, and that's not a place that God's going to release a harvest to. Call forth the mandates to build and establish the blueprints of the new order embassies of heaven on earth. Call forth the blueprints for the new order ecclesia and storehouses for the area and the regional embassies. My people must build the storehouses for the coming harvest. The blueprints are ready, but where are those who are willing to say, here am I, send me? God is looking for volunteers. Willing volunteers, not experts, those who are willing to follow and he'll lead. God is beginning to move in our hearts in new ways as we respond to his heart. So I started to receive and make more legislation. Legislation about removing restrictions, legislation about removing religious bondage, legislation for our hearts to be prepared to feel God's heart and know God's heart. Son, you're authorized and mandated to legislate into the restrictions on the church. I challenge you to remove the restrictions and limitations. It is time to clear away the obstacles, to remove the shadows and step into the light. The mists around the closed and clouded minds must be dissipated. And this is the confusion of the coverings of men that's restricted the clarity of the call of God from being heard. The hindrances and entanglements must be removed so the limitations of minds that are stuck in what has been can become free to embrace what can be, so it can become what will be. The veils must be removed and the restrictions lifted to embrace the limitless potential of my reality. The way, truth, and life are to be experienced, not conceptualized and contained. This is way more than just a statement in John 1:14-6. This is the nature of engaging the realms of heaven and the fullness of this experienced on earth. The limits of what is possible must be removed for my purposes to be achieved. You must begin to entertain limitless grace and mercy to be able to grasp what is true reality beyond all expectations. Remember, God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we can imagine or think. Call for the legislation of justice where lion and eagle will roar and soar. New dimensions of everything can be yours if you're willing to let go of the old and embrace the challenge of the new. Little did I know what this legislation was going to do in me, because this was the preparation for me having my mind deconstructed, for having my religious veils removed, even though I didn't know I had them, and for understanding what the depth of new versus old was all about. You know, I intended to do a few sessions on seeing things from a new perspective and recognizing the old perspective. That a few sessions turned out to 48 sessions and was a total transformation and renewing and deconstruction of my mind to bring an unveiling of truth. I had to be willing to let go of the old, you know, and that was not an easy thing, but now I so realize how precious this time of preparation was in my own life. So my legislative response to this was to begin to decree and declare. So I call for the removal of the limits, to unveil the beyond, the limitless potential possibilities of eternal reality. I call for freedom from the religious restrictions that are creating limitations. I call for justice against all the fear-based entanglements that are hindering us being a place of exchange. Now, each of our lives is a place where heaven can be exchanging into the earth and where people can be finding their lives exchanged. We want to see people's old life exchanged for a new one. We want to see people who are believers exchanging the old religious mindsets for new ones. I call the heavenly host to be witnesses for justice, that all mindsets of limitation be exposed and removed from benches of 3, 7, 12 and all mountain benches. Now that was for here as a group, but actually this is to be released all over the world. Just because people are calling things benches of 3, 7, 12 and all those other things doesn't mean that they're free from the limitations of old mindsets and are functioning even in those benches in an old way, using old mindsets and old belief systems. I call for the courage and boldness to possess the unknown to be instilled into all of our hearts and minds. I call for all selfishness to be exposed and surrendered. I call for hearts and minds and wills to be filled with compassion, zeal, and passion. I call for all confusion to be removed from our hearts and minds. I call the exchange to be commissioned and the departure lands to be open. This is, you know, something specific to here, but in reality, this is about being ready to receive people, being ready to have storehouses, embassies commissioned, that we would have places for people to get off the old and come into the new and be ready to come into the fullness of the revelation of their inheritance and who they are in God. I call for all obstacles to be removed from those who will be drawn to the light. I call for the mountains to be made low, the valleys lifted up, the rough places smooth, and the crooked places made straight. I call for the opening and administration of the everlasting doors and the spiritual atmosphere over us to be cleansed. Now, this is in preparation. We've still not done it, and I don't know many places who have done it, if any, but we have to get ready. So therefore, we need to see something established on earth which is not affected by the atmosphere, which is why the mountains need to be made low, valleys lifted up, rough places smooth, crooked paths straight. Then, when heaven and earth are in agreement and we have beachheads on earth of those embassies, foundations, then we will then begin to start to see the atmosphere dealt with. I call for the angelic armies of heaven to be released with fire into the atmosphere over our spheres of influence. Now, we have to cooperate with that. I call for the principality of our city of refuge to be installed. So, you know, I've been preparing for this for a long way. Are we fully seeing it yet? No. But you have to prepare. And what I do as a forerunner is an indication of what you can do in your areas and in your regions. You're authorized to call in the harvest of specific people groups. The authorization is released to call into the enemy's camp to target the strongest and most resistant opposition. You're authorized to empower the release of intense light that will turn the Sauls into the Pauls of the next generation. Now, this is very specific. And your people group, or what you have authorization to target with the love of God, with the light of God, may be different from ours and mine. But we all will have authorization to reach into the enemy's camp. And we want the most strong, like Paul, the most resistant, like Paul, to be transformed and come into a revelation where they will be the fullest evangelists for their people groups. I authorize each mountain to legislate love in its full force, the power to transfer people out of darkness into the kingdom of light. You're authorized to use the seasons and cycles with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding as your counsel. You're authorized to administrate judgment, justice, grace, and mercy, the four pillars of judicial government. You're authorized to plunder Satan's trophy room for those you have been given responsibility for. Now, I've been doing that. You know, now, when I was given this authorization, I didn't know how to do that. I didn't even know what that meant. So when God says something, you may not understand it, but if you receive it into your heart, it will be the thing which leads you and directs you into the preparation needed so you can outwork it. Now I know fully how to do that. I call for a passion and zeal to be imparted to us. I call for the hindrances and shackles to be removed from our hearts. Lord, give us an attitude of give us souls lest we die. I call for the scroll for the harvest to produce desire in our hearts. I call for the river of life to be released through the everlasting doors over us. I call for the King of Glory to come in with salvation and healing and miracles. I call you to change our hearts, to feel what you feel for the lost, broken and hurting and separated. Now, again, I had no idea really what I was saying when I was saying this, but it began to change my heart. God took me into places in heaven which unveiled the depth of his love for his children and all his children. And it totally changed my whole perspective on who God sees as his children, who he doesn't. You know, we're all his children. You know, we may be lost and hurted and separated, but God loves us and he loves the whole world. And he's taken away the sin of the whole world so that this whole world can come into a revelation of this truth and know him for themselves. So we've developed a statute book containing all the legislation and the laws we've developed here. You know, so we can use it effectively. The laws of various areas of jurisdiction, and those for general use are available to the Engaging God subscribers. So please use them. Take them and apply them to your situations. Now, obviously, in what I've described is really only describing my engagements with the various courts. I'm sure there are others that will have their own experiences, and they're also just as valid. You know, there are multiple levels of multiple functions within the court system of heaven. Engage them for yourselves. You know, you can only discover them by engaging them. You can only mature, you know, as you allow God to change and transform your life to give you greater levels of authority that you will take responsibility for when you know who you are. It must come out of your identity. So I will encourage you to just set your heart's desire on engaging the heavenly courts. And as you set your heart's desire on it, you know, I'd encourage you to begin to think about those courts and begin to pursue them. You know, pursue the courts, pursue the administration of the courts. Ask God to unveil and reveal those things to you. So we're just going to engage a little engagement, a little activation in which we're going to step into the realm of heaven or shift your focus to be in that realm if you're spiritually already there, to consciously engage with Jesus and to ask him to engage perhaps with wisdom for them to take you and show you the different courts or some of the different courts and to give you an experience that will begin to set you on your way. This is just a taster. Pursue it, go back, engage it and re-engage it. So close your eyes. And as you're closing your eyes, you know, just begin to slow down, relax, come to that place of rest. Don't strive or struggle. Just close your eyes, activate the eyes of your heart. We know heaven's open. We know figuratively we have a ladder that we can step through that veil. I'd encourage you to step through the veil. The invitation is to come up here. Step through the veil, enter into the realm of the kingdom. Jesus is always waiting for us, standing in the doorway. So we present ourselves to you, Jesus, our high priest, as living sacrifices. We lay down our agendas to embrace you. Let Jesus take you by the hand and take you where you need to go, to do what you need to do, to see what you need to see, to experience what you need to experience. He may take you to engage with wisdom, but ask him, ask wisdom to introduce you to the different courts, to give you wisdom and insight, to show you, to engage those particular courts, perhaps the strategy court or the angels or the mobile court, whatever it is, just be open to be led, to experience those courts, to pursue with desire, engaging. Don't race ahead beyond where you are, but be willing to be led, perhaps maybe to engage the canopy of angels. Ask him to take you into one of the canopy of angels and unveil and reveal and show you how you can interact with that canopy within that realm. So just begin to be led, directed, to engage and experience something of the different courts and legislation of heaven. Perhaps he might take you to the Court of Kings to produce a law, or to the Court of Chancellors. Just be open for that process. You have a scroll. You have authorization of sons of God to be positioned, seated in heavenly places, to have charge of the house, to have charge of the courts. So just be willing to engage that and just pursue that for your own lives.